It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, home sweet howdy. And yes, indeed, I am back. I'm back in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. And it is 5:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2:01 Pacific. And hi, I'm Bob. And I got in yesterday and spent yesterday and today sorting out various and sundry gremlins in the studio. And hopefully have managed to eradicate most of them. Sitting here trying to figure out just exactly what's going on with the audio levels. And it looks like things are relatively acceptable. Audio will be different because I'm not using the same system as I was for the 7 weeks that I was down in civilization. I've fiddled around until I was fit to bust with the old streaming computer, and it probably is the power supply. So maybe I'll take a run at that. But I sort of cabbaged together the a streaming system from the road rig. Good, clipping settled down. That's nice. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And this is the final week of January. We're in the home stretch, and I'm happy to announce that there is a challenge on the table to finish the month, courtesy of our friend John. But first, thanks. And thanks to John as well. Thanks to our 27th day of the month subscriber. Our buddy Robert in Australia is all by himself on the 27th of the month. So if we were to get some new subscribers today, Robert would at least have some company. Thanks for the 26th of the month to Michael and Peter, and for the 25th to Mark and James. Those are our subscribers for the last 3 days. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. And thanks again to John, who put forward a let's finish January challenge in good stead challenge. There's a have a show on me out there waiting to be fulfilled if we can raise the evening's $200. John will double it. So thank you, John. Thank you very, very kindly. And with any luck at all, we'll get that knocked out, in the next 3 hours. I got to tell you, I miss the Central time zone. I do. There's just something about Eastern time that just ain't right. But because it's Eastern time, that meant I woke up in time to catch some of the hand-wringing and pearl-clutching of the multimillionaires of the for-profit media over there on my filthy morning habit as they bemoaned the numbers that Bernie Sanders is putting up in Iowa and New Hampshire. Donnie Deutsch leading the charge. It was pretty revolting. He did everything but scream commie. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, because there's, well, lo and behold, if you're watching the impeachment proceedings, you'll know that Pam Bondi, the woman that the former Florida Attorney General, apparently this evening she dressed from the Spock's Mother collection. Obligatory early Star Trek reference. No, Spock's mother dressed. No, she's dressed more like Spock's dad, really, when you get right down to it. But it's 5 o'clock in the evening, and Trump has finished working for the day, so you know why it is that she is delivering remarks right now. They did their dead level best to make her look like Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump. And he's probably, well, never mind. Let's not take dinner out in the Eastern Standard Time Zone just yet, shall we? So that's where this Moran Monday finds us. And of course, she is she's the one that Trump paid thousands of dollars to through a campaign contribution to keep her out of the Trump University suit. Back when he was doing so much losing in that regard. And so, you wouldn't want to have her in like the 1 o'clock hour or something like that, because this entire Republican defense, if you can call it that, has been geared toward an audience of one. They're not even playing to the senators. And so they gave her the job of putting Hunter and Joe Biden on trial. And earlier today, they were running clips of news stories from ABC, among others, saying that, you know, the Hunter Biden deal didn't look good, that sort of, whatever. Pam Bondi has just gotten done. Jay Sekulow apparently is back up to repeat the Chewbacca defense, because there it was Saturday. It didn't take long before I heard the magic words of the Chewbacca defense uttered. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Because, of course. So, for the duration of the program, if you would like to enhance your listening pleasure, run on over to headon.live and click on chat room. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you don't already have one set up. And you'll be immediately greeted by Anatole and Faith Ann and Squeaky. Capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space today here in late January to become Man Cave. I should probably take a moment and explain that there is no more Facebook video for the time being until whatever is necessary to make video doable in here gets done. And we'll work on that probably the beginning of March, maybe. And tie that all in with the horn in and everything that goes with it. I'll announce more as we go forward. It was fun doing the Facebook stuff. I'm not a big video fan, but it seemed to add to the overall enjoyment of the program. Of course, one trusts Facebook's metrics at one's peril. And so it's audio only, but we're all over the place, 4 or 5 different streaming platforms for your listening pleasure. Kyle with an early email. they're scared shitless of Bernie. It's so funny to hear the millionaires bitch and moan that they'll have to pay a bit more in taxes for programs to help improve everyone else's lives. I'm enjoying it because they've all but admitted they know the candidate who will fight for progressive policies can actually win. It's the closest truth you'll ever get from them about this election and Bernie. Hey, for the most part, yeah, I mean, Donnie Deutsch is an unabashed Bernie hater. In fact, it's not even so much a hater as a loather and a despiser. But what they keep coming back to is, you know, can he beat Trump? And, Jesus, that's the problem, isn't it? Figuring out if any of them can. Because there's going to be unchecked cheating. We know that. If any of us who have paid attention to the impeachment trial or the sham trial, Moscow Mitch's Senate cover-up, we actually know that the same sort of shit and shenanigans that went on in 2016 will be brought to bear this year as well. And that's where a lot of the curiosity and doubt comes in. For instance, the folks over at Common Dreams arguing that, well, the trial could be over by the end of the week, and it's not a trial, it's a cover-up. And I tend to agree. And let me just take a moment and address the news stories that Pam Blondie Bondi used. Jesus Christ! Earlier in the day, they know the audience to whom they're speaking. Like I said, it's an audience of one, but there is an ancillary interest in speaking to the maggots. They're not talking to most of America. Because if you actually gave a good goddamn what most of America thought, you would not put Ken Starr up to speak to that body. You just wouldn't. Granted, maybe there aren't so many around who were there for the Clinton trial, but there are a lot of Americans who remember just what a sickening pervert Ken Starr is. It was Ken Starr, we will recall, who, having been urged on by his young protege, a kid by the name of Brett Kavanaugh, to put in every filthy, salacious factoid that he could find about Bill Clinton in the Starr Report, that turned the Starr Report from being some sort of an investigation of some sort of conduct into a low-rent, low-grade, soft-core porn novel. And that was just during the Clinton era. Now, you're either scraping the bottom of the pickle barrel for lawyers because everybody else is telling you to fuck right off, or this is actually the kind of guy you want. What you have to remember is that Ken Starr is a big, 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 big Christian. Oh, he loves him some Jesus, Ken Starr does, just like Jay Sekulow does, and I'm sure Pam Bondi, and dear God, I'm surprised they didn't get Paula White up there to pray away the satanic pregnancies. Well, maybe we'll get to that on Wednesday or something. Jesus. But Ken Starr is a big Christian. And that's why, after the Starr Report, and after, I think, what, Pepperdine University, he finally got his dream job. He ran that Baptist college in Waco, Texas. I've actually been on the campus of that school. I talked to a classroom there one time. Yeah. I'm talking about Baylor University, where Jesus apparently needed a brand new football and stadium there on the banks of the lukewarm Brazos River. But Baylor, you see, had a rape problem, as ever so many colleges and universities do in this country because of the way rape culture has been allowed to run wild in this country. Baylor had a rape problem. And it wasn't speculative, it was quite real. And once he got in charge of the university, Ken Starr did everything in his power to make sure that the victims of those rapes, and they were perpetrated inside the inside the confines of the athletic department. These are athletes run wild. Ken Starr did such a thorough and sleazy and slimy and filthy job of trying to cover up the rapes and ignore the rapes that even the Baptists who run Baylor University canned his ass. There were independent reviews by highfalutin law firms and they wrote reports on Ken Starr's conduct, and it's not even arguable what a filthy and sleazy thing Ken Starr did. In a just world, Ken Starr, after Baylor, should have become unemployable. And yet there he was, standing there in the Senate of the United States as a member of Trump's defense team. They are a sleazy lot, without a doubt. Steve in New York noting, Jay Sekulow is even crazier than a Christian. He's a Jew for Jesus. Yeah, who was the comedian who once said, Jews for Jesus? Isn't that like Rockers Against Drugs? Maybe it was Bill Hicks. I'm sure the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will get right on that. But the whole thing, starting on Saturday, has been nothing but an extended version of the Chewbacca defense. As promulgated on South Park. Let's see here. And just for the end. the Chewbacca defense.
Gentlemen of this supposed jury, I have one final thing I want you to consider. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chewbacca. Chewbacca is a Wookiee from the planet Kishik. But Chewbacca lives on the planet Endor. Now think about that. That does not make sense. Damn it.
What?
He's using the Chewbacca defense. Why would a Wookiee, an 8-foot-tall Wookiee, want to live on Endor with a bunch of 2-foot-tall Ewoks? That does not make sense. But more importantly, you have to ask yourself, what does this have to do with this case? Nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, it has nothing to do with this case. It does not make sense. Look at me. I'm a lawyer defending a major record company, and I'm talking about Chewbacca. Does that make sense? Ladies and gentlemen, I am not making any sense. None of this makes sense. And so you have to remember, when you're in that jury room deliberating and conjugating the Emancipation Proclamation, does it make sense? No. Ladies and gentlemen of this supposed jury, it does not make sense. If Chewbacca lives on Endor, you must acquit. The defense rests.
Ta-da! And so when I heard it, and I knew I would, it does not make sense. I forget if it was Pat Cipollone or Jay Sekulow or one of those other neo-maxi Zoom dweebies. But it was there, and I knew that they knew. Jesus. Kyle says, forget being unemployable. Ken Starr should be rotting in a prison cell, along with the members of the athletic administration and coaches at Baylor who committed and or covered up the rape of students by athletes. God damn. Why do we keep giving these assholes second chances? And third and fourth. But then again, like attracts like. And so a president who has been credibly accused something on the order of 24 times by different women of perpetrating sexual assault, sexual abuse, rape. It only stands to reason that he would call to his side people who specialize in looking the other way at rape. But what I was going to say for a minute earlier on, those stories about the maggot bunch did not make up the stories whose excerpts they were playing from major news organizations like Good Morning America. The stories about Hunter Biden and Burisma, they didn't make them up. Those news organizations did those stories for the salacious ad value that they provided in whatever time slot they were rolling. And looking back on it, I wonder if any of the people who had a hand in producing them feel any regret now about doing those gossipy little tabloid pieces. But that's what Pam Bondi was sent to do today. They gave her the Biden attack because she was the, well, it reminds me, long, long time ago, you could probably look it up in the archive somewhere, one of the first articles in Rolling Stone about the police, you know, Andy Summers, Stuart Copeland, Sting. Yeah, I think it was maybe with their first or second album. I remember because I was in high school at the time. But the title of that piece was Bottle Blondes Go to the Bank. And if they had just gone ahead and given Cipollone and Sekulow matching dye jobs, and maybe Alan Dershowitz too, and Ken Starr, you could have used the same title. doesn't make any sense. And what Pam Bondi was apparently trying to get across was the idea that, well, of course they did this. Trump was all worked up about Burisma. But to utilize the Chewbacca defense myself, it don't make sense. Because the prosecutor that Joe Biden went after at the behest of his boss, Barack Obama, was the corrupt prosecutor, not the good one. Now, here's another nobody ever heard of him before lawyer, Eric Hirschman. Maybe they know him inside the Beltway. But it's not exactly... Because, see, that's the thing. I've watched and listened to it all, and everything that was brought forward, it's not like they're denying it. It's a yeah, but defense, or a Chewbacca defense. And in the middle of this, I haven't mentioned it yet, in the middle of this is the great big blow-up occasioned by who? Yeah, John Pornstash Bolton, who is using, my God, who is using this process, this desperate constitutional process in which the very future of the republic hangs in the balance. He's using this to market a book. But it gets worse. Because in order to publish the book, a draft of the book was provided to the White House some time back, and they've been covering it up. I mean, this is, you know how in Hamlet you get the play within a play? So that there's multiple layers of unreality. The play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. You know what I'm talking about. Well, we've got a cover-up now. We've got a cover-up within a cover-up. Within a cover-up. It's cover-ups all the way down. And so the White House quietly sat on the draft manuscript of Bolton's book, which contains allegations that, yes, in fact, Donald Trump told Bolton specifically that the Ukraine aid was tied to them doing his dirty work. This, of course, occasioned a defense from Nitwit Nero of, nuh-uh, didn't say that, never said that, I'd never say that. And by now, of course, the entire country, or the ones that are paying attention, have heard the Take Her Out tape. And one wonders, we know there are other recordings. We just wonder what's on them. And still, you get stories about Bishop Willard Romney, who's leaning more toward wanting to hear from witnesses. Leaning? Leaning? Jesus. This shouldn't be leaning. This should be somebody yelled timber and he fell all the way over in the forest 3 weeks ago, but that's not the country we live in. Because, of course, from Moscow Mitch McConnell on, it's party over country for all the Republicans. And the one guy who, the one Republican in the House who said, this stinks. Well, he didn't get to be a Republican anymore. That's what you call message discipline and party discipline. And so this defense has been a mess. But like I said, you know, I said this last week before they even started. Nitwit Nero's lawyers could step up to the podium and play the national anthem on a kazoo, and the Republicans in the Senate would still vote the way they'd vote. And they would be hailed as noble pleaders, when in fact you would not trust one of them to argue a fucking parking ticket. Now, who is this Hirschman dweeb, and what is he saying?
Now, I want to take a moment to cover a few additional points about the July 25th telephone call, in which the House managers believe that the president in the United States, in their words, was shaking down and pressuring the president of Ukraine to do his personal bidding. First of all, this was not the first telephone call that the president of the United States had with other foreign leaders. So think about this for a moment.
Looks a little like
the
Michael
call was
Cohen,
routed
really.
Through the Situation Room. It was a scheduled call. There were other people on the call. There were other people taking notes, and obviously the president was aware of that fact. The House managers talk about the fact that the president did not follow the approved talking points, as if the president, any president, is obligated to follow approved talking points. And the last time I checked, and I think this is clear to the American people, President Trump knows how to speak his mind. But remember the fake transcript that Manager Schiff read when he was before the Intelligence Committee? His mob, gangster-like, fake rendition of the call?
Dipshit, that was parody and satire, but, well, you're hoping that the maggots who inhabit the Senate don't know those words.
Manager Schiff tried to create for the American people is completely detached from reality.
This is a
it
script
is as if
written
we were
by
supposed
Donald
to believe
Trump.
That mobsters would invite people they do not know into an organized crime meeting to sit around and take notes to establish the corrupt intent. Manager Schiff, our jobs as prosecutors, and I know you were one, would have been a lot easier if that were how it worked. Think about what he is saying. Think about the manager's position, that our president decided, with corrupt intent, to shake down, in their words, another foreign leader. And he decided to do it in front of everyone in a documented conversation in the presence of people he did not even know, just so he can get this personal benefit and was not in our country's interest. The logic is flawed. It is completely illogical because that is not what happened.
It's completely illogical. That's the way of saying it doesn't make sense.
That is why he created his own fake conversation. But I would like to just address another point from the transcript of the July 25th phone call. The House managers allege that an Oval Office meeting with the president was critical to the newly elected Ukrainian president because it would signal to Russia, which had invaded Ukraine in 2014 and still occupied Ukrainian territory, that Ukraine could count on American support. They actually argue that it was a quid pro quo, that the president withheld this critical Oval Office meeting that would deter the Russians and save the Ukrainians because he wanted something personal. Now, if that was in fact critical to President Zelensky for the safety of his own citizens, he would have immediately jumped at the opportunity to come to the Oval Office, especially when President Trump...
Is he saying Oval Office or Awful Office? I can't tell through that accent.
But let's see what President Zelensky actually says when he's invited to Washington on that call. He does not say, oh, this is what I would like to do. It's critical for my people. We will arrange it immediately. His response is, I would be very happy to come and would be happy to meet you personally and get to know you better. On the other hand, I believe that on September 1st, we will be in Poland, and we can meet in Poland, hopefully. In an Oval Office meeting, if an Oval Office meeting was critical to President Zelensky, that was a time to say so, not to suggest another venue. When we look at the evidence that is before us, it is clear that the only people who talked about having an Oval Office meeting were lower-level government employees who thought it was a good idea. But the principals involved – those who actually make the decisions, President Zelensky and President Trump, to them.
See, one of the problems with the way this thing is structured is that, unlike any other prosecution, there's no right of rebuttal for the prosecution. And so so knowing that, these pettifoggers knew that they could just step to the microphone and lie like, cheap dollar General Ruggs and get away with it. They know that old Balls and Strikes Roberts up there is barely paying attention. He's certainly not keeping track of the actual evidence. He's only there to call potty break whenever Mitch McConnell asks for one. Hell, he won't even make the jurors stay in their seats. Imagine what a different trial this would be if you could stop Republican senators from running out to the microphones. Your Marsha Goodness Blackburn from running out to her aide standing in the hallway with her Twitter phone in hand so she could attack a decorated injured veteran. For instance, at Ron and Raleigh noting subject line cover-up, it's a Russian nesting doll of cover-ups. John Bolton's a wacko, but he doesn't seem to be a liar. We've always known his intentions. He wants to get his war on and spill the last drop of blood of people of color. That's pretty much John Bolton. And as for the quid pro quo, no quid pro quo, no quo prequad, no pequad, this is not Moby Dick. As Steve notes, quid pro quo, except Mulvaney said it was. Well, Mick Mulvaney, he's one of those low-level staffers that the coffee talk Eric Hirschman here, was referencing a moment ago. But because because there's not going to be any rebuttal, at least that I'm not aware of. Yeah, it's okay, Tracy. I'll be all right. Please breathe, Bob, before you blow a gasket. We need you around to help us get through this seemingly never-ending bullshit. So, whoa, motherfuckers, in and breathe through your goddamn nose and exhale through your mouth. Okay, now on with the show. I'll do my best. But they're getting the fact checked out of them. These pettifoggers are, because the House Intel Committee went on Twitter and fact checked these pathetic, liars for what they are. White House claim, Rudy Giuliani is a minor player. Reality, witnesses testified that Trump directed them to talk to Rudy about Ukraine. Trump himself mentioned Giuliani on the call with Zelensky, and Ukrainians viewed Rudy as the key. The White House was denied due process. Reality, President Trump was offered the same or better procedural privileges than those given to Nixon and Clinton. He chose not to avail himself of these privileges, and it came with a chart. White House, and see, even here we're being too nice. White House claim, that should read White House lie. The House never subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani, therefore he is not central to the Ukraine scheme. Reality, Giuliani was subpoenaed for documents on September 30th, and deposition notices were sent to three of his associates. Giuliani refused to comply. Oh, by the way, in case you may have missed it, those Javelin anti-tank missiles that everybody's made such noises about, how, Trump's, by God, the God Emperor Trump, he's giving them, those poor Ukrainian soldiers, all that fucking Obama would send them was goddamn food and blankets. Soldiers don't need food and blankets. Soldiers are tough, manly men who don't mind being cold and wet and hungry while they're fighting for their country. Well, the fact of the matter is, out in the field, the soldiers prefer the food and the blankets. Because those Javelin anti-tank missiles that everybody's making so much noises about? Yeah, we're training them on how to use them, but they're not allowed to use them. Not allowed to. White House claim it was no secret why the aid was withheld. Reality, the House interviewed 17 witnesses. None were given any explanation for the hold on military aid until after the controversy erupted. All documents are still being obstructed. Yeah. I mean, they've got an indefensible case, the Trump lawyers do, save for the fact that they know it doesn't matter what kind of case they present. Because, well, every one of those Republican senators knows that if they vote against the president, as was spoken to the media, they will have their head on a pike. And, of course, we spent the entire weekend hearing about how deeply offended, how dare Adam Schiff, our heads on a pike, goddamn Muslims, head loppers. They're mad at Adam Schiff for repeating something that was said by a member of the Trump White House. That's what they're mad about. It's almost like you can almost think that, hey, that was spoken by the unnamed Trump administration official, knowing it would go into print and knowing that Adam Schiff would then repeat it. And the people who were outraged, I tell you, outraged, were on the lookout for the moment to express their outrage, I tell you, outrage. I'm shocked, shocked. Yeah. But that phrase, I guess, you know, it was over a year and a half ago now, that Tangerine Tiberius got all bent out of shape over a production of Julius Caesar in New York. And, of course, people immediately then complied. And, oh, we're terribly sorry. We'll never do Shakespeare in the Park again. We don't want to offend the leader. Because, of course, but, see, that phrase has an independent reality. Head on a pike. Let's check in with the bard, shall we?
They're standard.
Oh, first we have to make the Trump lawyer shut up. Shut up, Trump lawyer, you pettifogging asshole. Let's check in with the bard, specifically Henry the Fifth.
I had resolved the governor of the town. This is the latest pall we will admit. Therefore, to our best mercy, give yourselves, or like to men proud of destruction, defy us to our worst. For as I am a soldier, if I begin the battery once again, I will not leave the half-achieved Harfleur, till in her ashes she lie buried. Therefore, you men of Harfleur, take pity of your town and of your people, whilst yet my soldiers are in my command, whilst yet the cool and temperate wind of grace or blows the filthy and contagious clouds of heady murder, spoil, and villainy. If not, why, in a moment, look to see the blind and bloody soldier with foul hand defile the locks of your shrill, shrieking daughters, your fathers taken by the silver beards and their most reverent heads dashed to the walls, your naked infants spitted upon pikes, whilst the mad mothers, with their howls confused, do break the clouds. What say you? Will you yield and this avoid?
Yeah, see, it's a strong image, spitted upon pikes. And is it possible that there's some maggot there inside the White House with a little bit of a working knowledge of the powerful imagery of William Shakespeare? Or is this just it's just such a part of, I don't know. But somebody needs to ask Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and Jim Lankford if they also object to the use of that phrase in Henry V. Maybe they'd rather be editors of Shakespeare than, say, senators. Maybe they're better suited to it. Jesus God. I know the for-profit media are doing what they can to make the foregone conclusion of this sham a little bit mysterious. Constantly chasing after Bishop Willard and Susan and Lisa Murkowski. But it is a foregone conclusion, and we've known it was a foregone conclusion from jump. Because Republicans do not love this country. They do not love our constitutional structure of governance. The only thing they love about this country, you know, they're the reverse of what JFK said. They ask not what they can do for their country, but what their country can do for them. I mean, that's the exact modus operandi of venereal Vespasian and his daddy and his mama and his granddaddies and his grandmamas. They're leeches. Go to any cemetery where American soldiers are buried. You will not find one iota of relationship to anyone in that filthy, misbegotten family. That disgusting, multi-generational lineage of ticks. White House claimed there was no quid pro quo. Reality: Gordon Sondland on quid pro quo for the White House meeting. The answer is yes. Mulvaney on quid pro quo for the aide. We do that all the time. Ambassador Bolton is prepared to testify and should be called. Well, I tell you what, he's going to sell the fuck out of that book, isn't he? Imagine being as old as John Bolton is and concerned only with making a buck. But that's what happens when avarice and capitalism are high civic virtues. You know what? John Bolton, drama aside, John Bolton could have stepped up to any number of microphones and started spilling his fucking guts. He could have stepped up to a microphone and said, listen, this is a duty that is imposed upon me because I have been blessed all my life to have been an American citizen. And my country has been very good to me, even though I've spent my life trying to slaughter people in other countries. This is a debt that I owe, and I'm paying it now. And start talking about what he knew. He could have done that. Might it have subjected him to some level of legal peril? Yeah, maybe, but you can't unring a bell. And to imagine that this Senate is so blindly partisan, so thoroughly up the fundament of a monstrosity like Trump, that they will put themselves, their access to power, and their party above it all. It's disgusting. But John Bolton sitting around waiting for the opportunity to make a buck out of all of this is about as sickening as it gets. We've had a new phrase introduced into the lexicon with the so-called defense by this gang of low-rent ambulance chasers. Burden sharing. The president was really concerned about burden sharing. Reality. The burden did not change between freezing and releasing the aid. There was no new effort to get others to contribute more, and Europe, in fact, contributes a great deal to Ukraine. European Union taken together, $16.4 billion. European Bank of Reconstruction, $3.7 billion. United Kingdom, $115 million. Canada, $573 million. Germany, $860 million. Let's see, that European Union number, they're kind of like the United States of Europe, aren't they? Well, yes, they are. $16.4 billion is more than five times as much as what we were talking about in the aid that was withheld. These clowns have lied and lied and lied in a tribunal. The kind of thing that will turn you into an ex-lawyer. They said, for instance, that nobody in Ukraine knew about the withholding of the aid until it was publicly reported. That was a lie. There were two witnesses who testified that Ukraine knew about the hold before it went public. And it was confirmed by the former deputy foreign minister of Ukraine. Then there's the, but it's an election year defense. This is a holdover from the Merrick Garland miscarriage. Oh, we can't let that Muslim Kenyan usurper appoint another Supreme Court justice. It's an election year, said Moscow Mitch. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't impeach a president in an election year. Sound familiar? It ought to. Then there's the White House pettifogger saying that, obstruction of Congress isn't an impeachable offense. That was a real big oops that was hanging right over the rim. Because that's directly contrary to what none other than precious Lindsey Graham had to say about it. Mm-hmm. I bet Lindsey just wishes he could build himself a little old time machine and go back and make all those things he said about Bill Clinton go away. Because it's not a very good look for him. Being shown up for being such a tawdry little hypocrite. Now, the sting of being found to be a hypocrite disappears largely when the check clears, I do suppose. Don't you?
Three of impeachment against Richard Nixon, the article was based on the idea that Richard Nixon, as president, failed to comply with subpoenas of Congress. Congress was going through its oversight function to provide oversight of the president. When asked for information, Richard Nixon chose not to comply, and the Congress back in that time said, "You're taking impeachment away from us. You're becoming the judge and jury. It is not your job to tell us what we need. It is your job to comply with the things we need to provide oversight over you." The day Richard Nixon failed to answer that subpoena is the day that he was subject to impeachment, because he took the power from Congress over the impeachment process away from Congress, and he became the judge and jury.
Pretty convincing, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, well. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, right? Sure. And so it goes. So it goes. So it goes. But you get the sense that they do know, and it's one of the few things he knows, Nitwit Nero knows, that in a normal Congress, in a Senate that was not entirely beholden to him and whatever it is that was on that RNC server that got hacked but not disclosed, he knows that under different circumstances he would be an ex-president.
"I never told John Bolton that the aid to Ukraine was tied to investigations into Democrats, including the Bidens. In fact, he never complained about this at the time of his very public termination. If John Bolton said this, it was only to sell a book. With that being said, the transcripts of my calls with President Zelensky are all the proof that's needed, in addition to..." Yeah, where he says, I need a favor.
He knows. He knows. Oh, God, Hirschman's still going on.
Or want. Sadly, the House managers do not trust their fellow Americans to choose their own president. They do not think that they can legitimately win an election against President...
Oh, shut the fuck up. The American people didn't choose Donald Trump. And you know what? I'm getting really, really sick of the fact that nobody is willing to say about the Electoral College the truth about the Electoral College. Why is it so hard for the multimillionaires and the for-profit media to get their minds around the fact that the Electoral College is an anachronism that is in the Constitution specifically because of slavery? Try it sometime, multimillionaires. You'll feel dramatically better. but they don't want to get sucked into that swamp of arguing about the legitimacy of the 2016 election, because then you have to remember the illegitimacy of the 2000 election and the 2004 election. Hell, you wind up going all the way back into the 19th century the first time that the Electoral College put the wrong person in office. You'd think but to hear these freaks say it, you would think that Donald Trump was elected in some sort of massive landslide like Nixon in 72. When in fact he lost the popular vote by nearly 3 million votes. Well, you know, that's because of Washington and California and Oregon and New York and those Massachusetts and those liberal sissy states. The real America didn't do it. Jesus. Because that's not real America. No, hell no. We're through the first hour of the program. A reminder, John kindly put a $200 challenge on the table. We're still at goose egg through the first hour here. It would be magnificent if that challenge could be met and would give us a fighting chance of not sweating it all the way to the end of the week and the end of the month. Thank you, John. Thank you so much. If you'd like to help, just run over to headon.live and click the contribute button. Oh, well, Mr. Hirschman's done. Moscow Mitch stood up and pointed at his left eye. I don't know if that was some sort of a symbol or a sign, and then asked for a potty break. How about this, asks Steve in New York. Just ask if Lindsey Graham et al. Were trying to overturn an elected president. Why, yes, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what they were doing. But then again, Bill Clinton won that election. He won the popular vote. And he won the Electoral College. But they are a whiny lot. We had a sighting of Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins today. After the New York Times published a part of the manuscript from John Pornstash Bolton, Doug Collins took his butt hurt to the nearest microphone. Because, of course, he did.
Choice Adam Schiff is clearly scared that his case is so weak. Adam Schiff made the decision to withdraw the subpoena. This is an unfair, unconstitutional, and...
That's Elise Stefanik. Who is auditioning for the role of masturbation fantasy of Donald Trump, but has not yet bought the requisite hair dye.
Half-baked set of impeachment articles that was sent over to the Senate.
It's been very interesting here to hear this. And you talk about relevance. Let's go back to something here. One, it's interesting to hear the question say, well, if John Bolton said it, it must be true. Even though the president said it didn't happen, Barr said it didn't happen. We don't take that. And the interesting issue here is these were all known by Adam Schiff when he started that he had his witness. You talk about relevancy. I have a question for you. Why wouldn't Adam Schiff be relevant as a witness when him and his staff met with the whistleblower before it became...
Well, dipshit Dougie. If that's the standard we're going to apply, then looks like old Pat Cipollone and Jay Sekulow are going to need to testify, too, because they were in the meetings with Rudy Giuliani and Trump. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I halfway expected Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins to say, it don't make sense!
became public, they wanted the whistleblower out there, but when it became public that he meddled or his staff had actually had contact, then it's a relevancy issue. But here's what they didn't do it. What they wanted to do was on a clock and a calendar in the House. And you can make all the arguments now that you think they should be done in the Senate right now. But go back, because I've heard a lot of you talk about Clinton and I've heard you talk about Nixon. In Clinton, there was almost 3 years of a Star report in which everything was aired in grand jury, which the White House was all involved in. There was nothing there except when the Star report was then issued to the House then had their hearings, and they went forward from there. In this case, we've had 78 days, as Mr. Ackley pointed out, 71 of which were never even involved with the president. But it is interesting to me today that now to say that these are relevant witnesses, where was the call for relevant witnesses when Adam Schiff was holding his underground hearings and not going forward? So again, the premise of your question is that Bolton undoubtedly must be right. The president and Ali must be wrong. We've proved that wrong over and over again, and the president's team is going to do that again today.
It proved. That word, I don't think he knows what it means. I don't think it means what he thinks it means. Because say what you will about the defense team, they will not stand accused of having proven anything. Not only have they not proven anything, they haven't disproved anything. They've mounted a Chewbacca defense and a yeah, but defense. And that's pretty much it. Sorry, I'm still getting used to being in the home studio. Whoever called in on the stress line there, I had to get you all hooked up on the Bluetoother. These Elise Stefanik's and Doug Collins's are doing their dead level best to demonstrate not their allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, but their allegiance to a Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. And it's pathetic. How do we know I'm in the? How do we know I'm back in the home studio? Having trouble with Bluetooth. That's why. That's how. Flavio says the Elise Stefanik, the one who looks like a female Devin Nunes. No amount of blonde hair dye can help that. You mean the close set eyes and the? Another one who's failed upward from dear old Harvard, I do believe. Yeah, that's one thing about Harvard produces some really shitty people. Have you noticed? Makes me wonder if I'd actually want a kid of mine to go there. Ew. Steve in New York, first of all, Schiff did not meet with the whistleblower. True. So what if he did, too? At least 5 people have corroborated everything the whistleblower said anyway. And 3, I give the maggots credit. They know that the for-profit media will put anything they say on TV or in a newspaper and won't call them out on it. It's absolutely true. Well, like I said, I know I'm back in the home studio because I'm wrestling with the Bluetooth again. If you want to try to get through on the Skype line, that's cool too. Bob Kincaid Horn or 304-574-8178. Either one works fine. Lady B with a note. Subject line, semi-stoned thoughts. Why the hell have people vote in the general if the Electoral College basically declares those votes null and void? Doesn't seem fair, does it? So why do we keep doing it? Pitchforks, torches, and social media, that's what it may take. The message will be delivered. Zuckerberg wouldn't turn down a revolution if it meant clicks. We need new leadership. The revolution may not be televised, but it will be live-streamed. Well, see, that's one of those history thingies. If you go back and you look at the debate over the ratification of the Constitution, you will find that the folks who put the Constitution together didn't have much faith in the notion of democracy. They just didn't. Because they were afraid that a bunch of people, even our very best, you know, the property owners, because they were the only ones who could vote anyway, they were afraid that they might get carried away by their passions or by faction, and that being so carried away, they might do something stupid. And so they created the fiction that there would be a popular vote for the presidency. But Alexander Hamilton railed that we needed an electoral college that could step in just in case the people lost their fucking minds and voted for somebody like Trump. And instead, it works exactly, it has proven to work exactly the opposite. The people make a rational and reasonable choice, and because the Electoral College has become an entrenched and stylized thing, it operates to defeat the will of the people. And frankly, over the course of this impeachment, having heard far too many times about how they're trying to overturn the election, Donald Trump. Well, it really does need to come with a caveat. The election of Donald Trump by the Electoral College. Because if the person with the most votes won, we wouldn't be going through this. We would have already gone through this, because the Republicans in the then Republican controlled House and the Republican controlled Senate would have impeached Hillary Clinton just about the minute her hand came off the Bible. I mean, January 20th, 2017. We had a pool back then, and I said I took the first full day of business of the Congress after the inauguration for the day that the Republican impeachment inquiry into Hillary Clinton would have been opened. Presumably, though, that would have been a foregone conclusion as well, because the impeachment of Hillary Clinton would have been over things that happened when she wasn't president. You know, the way that we can't, it was deemed that we couldn't include Stormy Daniels in an impeachment bill because it happened before he became president. So there would have been a Hillary Clinton impeachment for Benghazi and but her email. And its sole purpose would have been to make sure that she was a one-term president. God Almighty. But we'd have been over that by now. And it would have we'd be looking at, you know, her re-election campaign. And her primary challenge from whomever. Because we don't do shit like the Republicans do and just, you know, get behind an incumbent. I remember when Al Gore had to run against Bill Bradley to get the Democratic nomination in 2000. The curse of the long memory. And so, into the second hour, let's run over and see if I got the Skype line hooked up right. You there, Todd? Oh, tell me I don't have it right. Hold on. Just a minute. Don't leave it to me. You there, Todd?
Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Sorry. That was my screw up.
So, what I do know is the robbed that smiles steals something from the thief. He robs himself, spends a Buddhist grief. Little Othello.
Yes. Shakespeare, so, Shakespeare's never a bad touch.
You know, it's corny and disgusting when you're younger, but as you get older, it's like, man, shit does not fucking get a same old. We're doing the same old shit. Even bipedals keep doing the same old shit. Do you get me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, darn. We just noted, noted hog D-baller Joni Ernst. Damn it.
Oh, no. I want to hear her.
It's too late.
I was kind of about to say the next thing. In between, I was listening to these weirdos. They are serious about their fucking lying and their dispositive statements.
Oh yeah. Oh, this is Mike. This is Mike. Mike Brown, Braun from Indiana. You know, like in Ava. Let's check him out for a second. Because you know he's already said, yeah, Trump did it, but I don't care.
The question of witnesses, and we'll cross that threshold on Thursday or Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want
to
come in?
That's you go, Mike.
So from the perspective of the impeachment defense team, we feel really good about the progress thus far. You just heard from a collection of senators there, and I think they let their opinions be clear that the job is being well done and the case is being well presented. One thing that you'll notice there was a theme here in the last couple of hours is that the president did indeed have an obligation. He certainly had a right, but further than that, he had an obligation to investigate corruption in a foreign country.
This isn't nobody. This is representing Mike Johnson of Louisiana, Stan. So he's hardly worth listening to.
They're people. I mean, they're next to Mississippi where Parchment is, where they're having some trouble. But, you know, since you brought it up, seriously.
Oh, dear.
I don't know. Look, this is your fault in a way.
Always
just,
is.
Just because you're too accommodating. Because you have just impressed and just hammered the point of what a dolt and what a ham-handed, inconvenient individual that our Secretary of State is. And it's somewhat fortunate. You know, that's I love that building. You know, the State Department, Foggy Bottom Station, you know, it's that whole area right there. It's like the foot of Georgetown, you know, head up Wisconsin Avenue and go to the zoo. You know, this motherfucker, I just happened to be listening to NPR when he was dealing with Mary Louise Kelly. You know, like a lot
that's,
of us.
That story broke during Friday on the front porch and I couldn't quite wedge it in. Mike Pompeo. You know, he graduated first in his class at West Point.
Tell it, Mom!
God, it just cracks me up every time. He
he's big Christian, and that's why I decided to lob a whole bunch of fucks around at Mary Louise Kelly, who apparently he didn't realize actually she didn't go to West Point, but she took her education seriously.
She went to a real school. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. This shit breaks me up. I'm sorry.
No. But, you know, Christianity, evangelical Christianity is, you know, how dare you ask the fuck out of a fucking question, fuck you. Here, bring me a fucking map that ain't got fucking names on it. I want to see if she can find fucking Ukraine. Where's fucking Ukraine, Mary fucking Louise Kelly? Fuck, find it the fuck for me, fuck.
Ooh. Then she calmly said, okay. An unmarked map. She calmly points to Ukraine, which is not that fucking hard because it's at the bottom of Russia, sticking out in the Black Sea, Crimea, right next, you know, it's a colon. So, but then when he said, this was like, I'm so done with these people. When he said, people are going to hear about this, that's a fucking threat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I cut you off, man. That's when I was done with his ass. Wow.
But you'll notice there's precious little... I mean, it got some media coverage, but, you know, nobody's saying, he's got to go. Because he's a Christian and throws around F-bombs. He's got to go. But here's, as usual, I try to look beyond or behind the crap as it's, you know, presented on its face.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the Secretary of State of the United States have a European map with no names on it? Got anything?
You see I'm quiet. What purpose does that serve except to, if you have to talk to a moron who won't know the names anyway, just say, hey, it's over here in this area.
No.
You know, like you see?
No. They had that map with no names on it because that's how they taught Mike Pompeo where the countries were.
Oh, no, but he graduated first in his class.
Well, apparently Europe wasn't his thing.
Okay. That is not an excuse. Europe's not my thing.
I mean, he's an evangelical, so he's going to be interested in your Middle Eastern countries. He never got around to learning Europe.
Pompeo. What is that, Greek or Italian?
Are you kidding? Pompeo? Pompeius Magnus?
What? Yeah.
Pompey and Caesar? Pompey, Caesar, and Crassus? The triumvirate?
He's got lava running through his veins. Okay, fine. But... this sucker, man, the more I see of him, it's just this whole crew. They're just ignorant, ill-equipped. But what is up with these? I'm not trying to get ethnic. However, it just appears that this group of white males has no respect for anyone unless you have money in your – it's like planter class again. If you don't have any money and you're not a white male, we can't be bothered. You know,
and that's a problem. I mean, not for them. That's the way the world's supposed to work for them. That's the way this country worked up until 1948.
Man, Mary Louise Kelly held her cool. I mean, I followed that story. I was.
Oh yeah, she wasn't going to ruin that by losing her shit in her own right. Although, you know. one of these days somebody may do that and may actually find out that it works.
I was very disappointed. Not that I wasn't surprised, but I was very disappointed. You know, when he said, well, you know, people are going to find out about this, or people are going to hear about this. When he said that, for some, I had the vision of Ambassador Yovanovitch. You know, in my mind, like, wow, they threatened her too. You know, these people are incorrigible. They're any type of negative.
Right, and look, you and I both know what the Horn Family Community Congregation knows what the term stochastic terrorism means.
Right.
Okay. It is the randomization of a terroristic goal through media. And so once again, when over the weekend Nitwit Nero said that Schiff hadn't yet paid the price, he's trying to get somebody to make him pay the price. Because Adam Schiff, I mean, look, realistically, there's no other interpretation of that. Of that statement.
None.
Because Adam Schiff is not in danger in his congressional district. Adam Schiff is going to be the representative for that congressional district in L.A. for as long as Adam Schiff wants to be. And Nitwit Nero has no constituency almost at all in California. So it doesn't mean make him pay a price at the ballot box, because he can't impose the price. He's trying to get, I'm sure he was quite impressed by the gunned up militia members, you know, the ones who haven't seen their feet since the Reagan administration. He wants one of them to get busy.
Well,
I mean,
they can do it.
So much of what he does is that. That's all that is. Because a large chunk of his base is people who want to get the boogaloo going. That's their word, not mine.
Oh, they're ready. Look, I live here.
They think they're ready.
Well, you're right. They think they're ready in their minds. They're ready.
Now I'm back here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole Trump Jr. stand. And God, I think just now 24 hours that I've been home.
I was about to say okay.
Right. And so I went up to the Wiggling Pig today.
Oh no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. Oh yeah, I did. Because. Well, needed some provisions, you know. Up here in Central Appalachia, you go to the settlement for provisions. And I'm standing there checking out, and there's a guy, and he's, you know, he ain't wearing no MAGA hat. They done wised up to us. They figured out that we realized that red hat's a symbol or something. So his hat was white. And it said, Keep America Great 2020. He's an early adopter. He's already bought in for the 2020 slogan. MAGA is so 2016. Now we got to keep America great. And we got to, for instance, keep America
great. That's almost Klan. That's Klanish.
Yeah, and we got to keep America great by, among other things, making sure that the wrong people can't get into this here country. Because, see, the Supreme Court is still on the job, even though old Balls and Strikes is working a second job. I wonder, does he get paid extra for that? So it was 5-4, and you know who the five were. Well, they blocked the ruling of the district court, and now Nitwit Nero gets to impose a hard-ass rule that says you can ban somebody from coming to the United States or staying in the United States if the immigration office says that sometime in the future they might use government resources or public services, and by that we mean eating food or going to the doctor or getting some help with housing or perhaps some assistance for their youngins. And so the district court got overturned by old balls and strikes and shoot him in the back of the head at 30 feet, Sammy Alito, and Ann's boy Neil, and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and of course, Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer and even more likes anonymous people who will pay off all of his debts for him. This is a big win for Stephen Miller, Todd.
Yeah, fuck him.
You know, Pee Wee Herman Goering.
Self-hating Jew.
Thereabouts. And so the Department of Homeland Security is going to be able to deny green cards to anybody who's ever used taxpayer-funded assistance like food stamps, Medicaid, health care, prescription drug subsidies, or Section 8 housing vouchers. And unless the immigrant, the prospective immigrant, can prove that never at any time in the future will they access government benefits, the DHS can deny a green card to someone coming in for the first time.
That sounds extremely complicated.
Well, it sounds extremely, you know, evil.
So, you know, it makes the supporters feel good. You know, he's keeping those people out, and there's enough of them to hear. I mean, I hear people talk. I listen to people when I'm out, and they talk, and they're feeling very comfortable now because they just talk. They say shit out in the open that they wouldn't say before. You know, because the environment has loosened up where they can, you know, say what they want. You know. You know, we're having incidents with people wanting to walk around with open, because you can. You can walk in open carry around here if you have a certain type of license. They like to do that shit. You know, walk around like slave catchers, like they're some kind of cop. But, you know, where does this take us as a country? Because, you know, they don't, I guess they hadn't given it a whole lot of thought. Like a lot of these folks, you know, their folks hadn't been over here more than maybe 150 years. Maybe not that long, maybe 100. Not that it really matters. It's America. That's the whole point. That's, you know, but that's lost on them. But, I'm still trying to digest this. I hate to go backward, but Pompeo, what a rude and ignorant ass! Just, I really, really. And now, of course,
well,
every time
he's a fundamentalist. You're surprised?
But I thought, yes, I am. I really am. I really, because.
He was a damn birther when he was a member of Congress from Kansas. I mean, come on.
But what I'm saying is that he should have grown out of that. When he got, when he was in charge of the CIA, he should have been able to. I have to kind of divorce. I have to be able to compartmentalize, and I'm in charge of a very serious organization. And I can have my personal life, my personal views, and my, in other words, we're supposed to have a professional self and a personal self. And, you know, it takes a higher level, you know, a higher actualized individual to be able to discern between the two, which is why, you know, there's human resources who's supposed to be able to, like, tell that type of thing, which is why that, the next president, we need to pass some legislation to have a full neurological exam for anyone who even gets close to being president, so we don't have to endure the mental illness of a president of the United States and his whims and fiction and, you know, over the whole world. Because it's incongruent with logic. It's not working. This shit ain't working. And I'm glad what you said about the Electoral College, because that's the truth. People don't like it, but that's too fucking bad. You know, that's the root. And you know, people don't like it. That's too fucking bad. That you know, if you really think about it, that is the one. Well, I don't know. It just should be one person, one vote. I mean, that's what people think it is anyway. But for president, the president represents everyone across the globe, not just your district or your state. A country as powerful as ours requires a vote from every citizen, a stake in that.
I agree. And so that's one of the arguments I've seen put forward for the November election. You know, my God, we're here now. We're in the year. It's on the way. It falls into the kerfuffle over Bernie bragging about being endorsed by Joe Rogan, who is a homophobe and a transphobe, and ugh. And the argument is that, you know, you don't push away the allies you already have to get allies that may or may not support you, and that the smarter money is on trying to get out the vote of those people who didn't bother to show the hell up in 2016. I don't know if you followed that kerfuffle or not, but.
No, I did. I'm quiet because I'm processing. And I remember reading about that. And I'm thinking about Rogan's geographical location, which is Long Island, which is basically like Queens, except more money.
Is that where he is? For some reason or another, I had him in Southern California. But, I mean, is he a New Yorker?
Unless I'm wrong, I'm wrong many times, but I'm thinking Joe Rogan, isn't he one of the podcasts that has that crazy face, like this out of control looking crazy person, like a cartoon character kind of?
No, I don't know. I've never seen it. I've seen it a few times. It's just Joe Rogan.
He
has
a very long podcast.
He played the tech guy in the 90s on news radio, remember? And then he was the host of the reality show Fear Factor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, the research department will
He smoked a blunt on his podcast with Elon Musk.
Yeah, that's Rogan. Yeah, he has these really interesting, often interesting interviews. But he is who he is, and. You know, people had their voice.
And his audience is largely comprised of disaffected white males.
Right. Like Sean Hannity, who also lives on Long Island.
Well, I mean, he had Alex Jones on his show, and they got on famously. I think he had a conversation with Steve Bannon, and they were real buds. But the Bernie people went wild when Joe Rogan said, "Well, you know, I'd probably vote for Bernie." And "I'd probably vote for Bernie" was apparently big news. So the campaign then tweeted it out, and people began pointing out the fact that that's not exactly somebody to be proud to tweet about being probably supported by.
Right. We don't want you to be our bro.
Considering what he has said and his audience wholeheartedly endorses in the past about some of the most vulnerable populations in the country, and also at the same time some of the most reliable allies within the Democratic Party as it is now constituted. Before I get any hate mail, that's not Bernie bashing. That is that's a matter of reporting on a thing that happened, that exists, that's real.
See, and it's a shame that you have to even, it's not a preface, but...
Well, no, I do have to, because there are a lot of Bernie supporters out there who get really, really, really bent if you suggest that Bernie isn't, you know, always right all the time. I've said the same thing all along. I don't do religion. Okay? And that doesn't just encompass Jesus, Allah, the Buddha, Almighty God, the 13th Guru, or any other deity. Witzelow Poetchley, don't give a fuck. Okay? I don't worship. And so I'm not going to say that anybody is infallible. People make missteps. All right?
That's what we do.
I was disgusted this morning when I tuned in my filthy morning habit, only to find them engaging in a solid round of Bernie bashing.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. You know, led as usual by Donnie Deutsch, the guy who said that if Bernie was the nominee, he just couldn't vote for him. Now, we're out here beating the drum for blue no matter who, but a multimillionaire who lives in some swank-ass building in New York, no, he can't be bothered.
Well, I got news for the end of the forum. Donnie Deutsch ain't no bleeding heart liberal. He's a typical kind of white dude with money in New York. You know, people think because you're in the North, you're not prejudiced or racist. That is bullshit. I mean, that Archie Bunker thing, that was real. That's why they lived out in Queens.
Yeah. Well, Kyle has a different take on it. He says, I come at it from a different perspective when it comes to people endorsing candidates. If a person as despicable as Joe Rogan, who I despise as much as anyone for his anti-LGBTQ views and more, sees Bernie as authentic, I'm actually fighting to make everyone's life better. Because he is, that's something that speaks volumes. They know he acts out his beliefs, and people like authenticity. So, you know, maybe that's how it plays, but the risk is that, you know, because we're Democrats, at least some of us nominally, we're not going to do that march in lockstep no matter what thing that the Republicans have off to a fucking tee. You know, look, there's clip after clip after clip of Republicans. I think it was Bill Maher who played it on Friday. All these Republicans talking about what a shit weasel Donald Trump is. And they were all saying it back in 2016 before he started winning primaries. But by God, once he had the nomination, they got the fucking line. We don't do that, Todd.
But see, you just exposed one of our greatest assets and at the same time our greatest flaw is that we are more pragmatic. We are deeper thinkers. And when you know, when you're a deeper thinker, you can change your opinion because, okay, there's more data, there's more information. So maybe, you know, I was with you, but now I see, you know, I'm learning more. No, I'm not with you now.
Well, right. And whereas, and by the way, just by way of, Joe Rogan's been in L.A. since 1994. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron and Ronnie. Thank you. But see, I hate the kind of calculus that's involved here. Of saying, well, you know, I mean, we've got our allies and they've stuck by us through thick and thin, but are there more like anti-trans, you know, sort of right-wing types who might be convinced to come over to our side by Joe Rogan? And if so, let's kick our other allies to the curb. That is a bullshit calculus, plain and simple. And... it's just another opportunity for us to fall apart.
And that was my point. That was going to be my point. We're already fractured enough, and all that does is drive more fissures into the larger fracture. And that's why we have 2,068 people running to be president against someone who they know they're going to vote for. You know, so. This is not looking good. This is not looking good at all. Which doesn't mean the man doesn't need to be. I mean, he's already impeached, but he's got to go through the process. But right. So this whole nonsense. When I was listening to Sekulo and all these people talk, I mean, this is serious business, and they are just lying through their teeth. They are absolutely lying.
And see, the thing is, lately, every time Nitwit Nero says, that never happened, now we're at the point where somebody shows up with a recording saying, yeah, here's him saying it. And so when he said, but I never said that in front of Bolton, somebody may have a recording. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that, but somebody may.
Well... The next week is going to. This week is going to be interesting because now the leak, right? The leak from the book, Bolton's book.
Oh, which by the way, Mark Meadows, who is of course the lead maggot from one of the leading maggots nationwide, comes from North Carolina, and because everything is a sort of. Paranoid Captain Queeg kind of, you know, somebody, the strawberries, something, something ice cream. Now. he lost his shit and just a little bit ago and declared that the Democrats, God damn it, the Democrats, they're the ones that leaked leaked the Bolton manuscript. I mean, it's pathetic.
So they're all Republicans in the. Are there any Democrats in the White House?
Well, see, no, there aren't. The White House is the one that had it. The White House is the one that's covering it up.
They've had it since December.
Yeah, but check this out.
Republicans are asking right now is why was this leaked out? At this particular time, right before today's presentation by the Trump defense team. I know I'm asking that. You know, some have suggested that it was to sell more books. Some have suggested that indeed the leak was designed to create chaos. What we do know is that this is a pattern that my Democrat colleagues have embarked on when it was over in the House, and they continue to leak out things, trying to change the narrative.
I mean, you've got this. The Democrats leaked the manuscript. You know, the Democrats who didn't have the manuscript leaked the manuscript, not the White House that had the manuscript. I just want to make sure we got this here.
so that you will write about it, so the American people can get all worried about it, only to find out the facts later don't necessarily support the accusations that are made.
Why not have him show up and testify?
Guys, let me just say, I'll be glad to answer questions. Let me just finish. I know I'm from North Carolina. I talk a little slower, but let me just, even slower. Well, we don't need a translator then. So let me just go ahead and hit on this very important topic. Here we are today looking at another reason for a possible leak at this particular.
I mean, don't you love this, Todd? So he says, the Democrats leaked this, not the White House.
I want to fast talk New Yorkers like Doug Collins. He want to fast talk New Yorkers like Doug Collins, man.
And then some little intrepid member of the press tries to push back and says, now, wait a minute, I'm not done lying yet. We haven't gotten to the strawberries. I got to talk about the strawberries.
I had an extra key made. Where's the cowbell? No. I'm not done lying yet. That's just funny.
So nice to be home, back to my home cowbell.
Your home cowbell, as opposed to the away cowbell.
Yeah, I got a road cowbell. Cowbells shouldn't have handles. Not with like bicycle grips on them. No, that's just no.
Oh, get her time.
So he's got more lying to do.
My Republican colleagues in the Senate are going to make up their own minds on whether to call witnesses. But this leak was designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to try to manipulate the thinking of my Republican colleagues in the Senate to encourage them to open it up and provide for more witnesses.
Hey, let me suggest one thing real quick. For anybody who's in the D.C. area who's feeling subversive, I know exactly where that escalator is, where they're coming down. If you could time it to where you're coming down the escalator while a Mark Meadows or a Lee Zeldin or a Lee Stefanik, and then you just reach inside your jacket and you pull out a poster that you've already made, and it's in block letters, black, white poster board, black, and big bold, and just hold it up behind his head as you're coming down the escalator. Liar! Wouldn't that be great? That'd be the video photo bomb of the year.
Why will we all of a sudden find more facts? No, the facts are clear. The facts have...
Yeah, why? What, are we going to find out that Chewbacca really wants to live with the Ewoks? I don't think so.
Been clear. And so I'm not in favor of calling additional witnesses, so I'll answer your question, because the facts remain as they always have been in support of the president, that he got no political advantage, no investigation, nothing was delivered for a pause, for a temporary pause in the aid. So I'll come over here. I will come over here.
John Bolton, he had first-hand account of what would go on. You want to hear that first-hand information?
Well, as again, it's the House's job to provide any of the investigation. And as we look at first-hand knowledge, we've already had first-hand witnesses that continue to say that the president didn't condition the aid. One of the best first-hand witnesses is the actual president of Ukraine, who said that he felt no pressure. That doesn't change. Regardless of what Ambassador Bolton says, it doesn't change.
Yeah, except for the problem that Zelensky would have to be certifiably insane to say that he did feel pressure when he was being pressured.
Exactly.
There has been no small amount of corruption in Ukraine, and he knows it damn good and well, because let's remember, Zelensky is actually a TV personality for a couple of decades, maybe.
He's a comedian.
And he knows how his country.
He knows where his bread is buttered. He knows it's like, all right, so you're standing on my neck, and I can't eat till you get your foot off my neck. So I'm not going to say, get the fuck off my neck.
I'm not going to say you got your boot on the neck, because I'd like you to take your boot off my neck. And you never will if I say your boot's on my neck. You're just gonna step down harder. Take your weight off your other foot and put it all on the one that's on my neck.
See, I'm really feel bad about this. I don't think everyone should be able to vote anymore. This is not working. This current business model.
Yeah, but we've tried that before, and you know how it goes if you got literacy tests and things like that.
Well, that's what my people, that's what my family said when I brought that up. They're like, no, you can't do that again. I'm like, but this shit is fucked up, man. It's not going to get any better.
Well, at least maybe there's a puncher's chance that it gets better. Lady B wrote a few minutes ago, you know how there are some Democrats who either dodge or conveniently forget to mention that they were all in for the Iran-Iraq war, or for the Iraq war, even though we knew it was wrong. Hopefully this will end well, and we'll get Trump out of office, and hopefully we can start rebuilding our democracy and regaining foreign trust. But in the meantime, those senators who stood by Trump, those representatives who stood by Trump, if they don't go to jail, they're going to have a lot of explaining to do to their kids as to why they stood behind this motherfucker. Because the Iraq war was terrible. We lost a lot of lives, but I think in this case, this is 10 times worse. Well, it's what it's going to do. Yeah, it is 10 times worse because of what it's going to do in the future. This is, you know, in a way, this is like the run-up to the Iraq war when some of us were out here saying, you know, this is not going to end well. This is going to be a total fucking mess. It's going to be a quagmire. We got no exit strategy. And the response to that was for a dude with a St. Louis Cardinals t-shirt and a bandana on his head to run out to an protest an anti-war protest with a sign that said "Get a brain, morons." That's where Moran Monday comes from, after all.
Mm.
So we are a nation that steadfastly and proudly defends our stupidity. And then there are those of us who go, we talk about people who get shit right and people who get shit wrong. William Crystal is now a devoted and devout Never Trump Republican. It may be the only thing he's been right about in his entire life, because the man's made millions of dollars being wrong about everything. Meanwhile, the people and you know, David Brooks, him too, on and on. But the people who are right about shit labor in obscurity, because if you give them the time of day, then all the people who were wrong have to sit up and say, "Oh well, yeah, I was," and yet the checks keep clearing. I mean, William Crystal's been sitting on panels on MSNBC all weekend.
Well, and you know, I firmly believe that William F. Buckley would be in the same camp if he were alive. You know, I'd like to see firing line now, the old firing line from the '80s. You know, when we were younger. And I would love to see what they had to say about this. That whole crew with Eleanor Clift and you know, everybody. But, all right, so this is where we are, but does this change the whole philosophy about politics in America now?
How so?
Well, in other words, it's quite obvious that between gerrymandering and now we have this nouveau meddling because of the electronic mediums, and it's not just here. It's just going to get worse. People are getting the news from different sources. We've got the OAN network, which is, you know, like you've been saying, is more far right than Fox.
Yeah, the channel that spills its news upon the ground, ONAN.
Right. You know, for farmers, you know, and so I don't want to say it like that. That sounds terrible. But, you know, for a certain segment of the population. So it doesn't appear that unless people really work, people have to work. You know, everybody's in their feel-good silo. See?
it takes work. And people aren't trained in critical thinking anymore. People aren't trained in how to figure out what they're reading online is real or not. Who looks at URLs anymore? Unless you're old school, you don't even look at the URL. You just say, hey, look at that picture. Okay. Or look at that.
Well, I got a classic example. I saw a story from the UK's Independent today, which you always take with a grain of salt. It's Murdoch, I think. But it was this big, showy headline. Barack Obama may soon denounce Bernie Sanders. I'm like, well, shit, okay, I'll check this out. And there was actually no news in it. There wasn't even a credible source cited. It was all, and if he does, then... Blah, blah, blah.
Just a blurb, just it, with just bullshit content.
Yeah. Randy in PA asks, didn't William F. Buckley take a long time to wise up over Richard Nixon? Well, yes. But William F. Buckley founded the New Republic, or not New Republic, was it what? National Review.
Right.
Yeah. And from the moment of that thing's founding, it was just a thinly white supremacist rag with a veneer of Ivy League tone.
Right. I can't remember the guy's name. It starts with last name starts with a K. He had dark hair. He was younger, and he was like Buckley's mentee, and he took over. His last name starts with a K. I'm not wrong about that. So what you're talking about, see, it reminds me of, once again, see, this is what's frightening about Bernie Sanders. Now, last cycle, everybody across the board, the poll said, when asked, who do you think is the most honest candidate, you know, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, Bernie Sanders wins hands down every poll. And this is when he was, you know, labeled as some kind of like left-wing crazy, talking about, you know, minimum wage hikes and free health care, free college and this and that. But everyone, you know, the polls came out, he was telling the truth according to how people felt. Now, this cycle, guess what? Those issues are mainstream. He did his fucking job.
Yeah.
Anyway, so look, I hope maybe Tracy wants to talk to you something. I don't know. I'm just disgusted.
Well, it's disgusting. I mean, Kyle just said, oh, God, that Obama's against Bernie shit. All this because Obama staffers endorsed Warren and not Bernie, and the stupid made-up fight between Bernie and Warren. Make it stop. Ugh. Right, and that's largely why I'm staying out of it. It's meaningless for me because my vote is not going to matter. As I was driving in yesterday, I'm listening on National Petroleum Radio, and I hear another puff piece about two Iowa voters who take so seriously the burden they carry because they know that they're responsible for choosing a presidential nominee because they're first. And the idea that every story that contains that notion doesn't have some sort of a sidebar to it saying, and by the way, we need to have a conversation about why we give that position of prominence and power to a place like Iowa. Now, I'll get hateful pushback from the Iowegians, but, you know, somebody's got to go first. Well, no, actually, they don't. I'm back to what I said before. Let's have a one-day national primary. This is not the 19th century, and you don't need a candidate to come to every state because that's the only way you can find out what they're saying. You know, you can watch a rally, you can watch a speech online that's being delivered in California or New York or Texas or anywhere else, Because, I mean, look, you know, you go on Facebook and it's like, so-and-so is having a watch party. Okay.
Exactly.
So we could have, we could have a one-day national primary.
This is the time.
And that was the other piece of mendacious bullshit that took up time on the airwaves this morning. Oh, Michael Bloomberg's not enough.
You didn't say mendacious, did you?
Yeah, I did. I like that word. But they're all fighting it out for Iowa and New Hampshire and Nevada and South Carolina, but not Mike Bloomberg. Mike Bloomberg doesn't give a fuck about all this. He's running ads all over California. Why, you can blanket 2/3 of the state of California simply by buying ads in the Los Angeles market.
Well, look, Bloomberg is working the system. He's shrewd. He's smart. He is doing exactly. Look, he don't count him out. You know,
count him out because you know what? You can buy an election.
You can buy. We have seen that. That's what this is about. Exactly. And he knows what the hell he's doing. And he is. Listen. And he said he's going to back whoever the nominee is anyway. He's going to put the rest of his money behind whoever the Democrat nominee to get this.
Which is the best thing I've heard him say. And people are saying, well, you know, if you throw $1 billion, if he throws $1 billion, he's worth $50+ billion. If he puts $1 billion into the election, that could make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, look, what, and see, I like that. I'm not saying I like him or don't like him. I don't care, whatever. I'm just voting in self-defense this time, as most times. But think about it. He doesn't even have to engage in this circus that the DNC has created because they're just fucking inept. I don't know what the hell they're thinking about. They never should have had 23 people running. That's just stupid. There's a time for that. You know, it sounds democratic and everybody gets a chance and all that, la, la, la stuff. Fuck that. This ain't that goddamn time. We're at war. This is not the time for that shit. These mugs on the other side, they got one dude and they shut everybody else up. Mark Sanford would have been a great candidate.
Or that guy from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right. The pink guy. He's pink. I'm not making fun of it, but he is pink. Yeah,
of all the people to interview this morning, lo and behold, they went out and they went out and scrounged up Deval Patrick.
Yeah, what's up? See, that's what I'm saying. He's getting a check to dilute, to defuse the situation.
Well, he was brought in when they were having a shit hemorrhage over Elizabeth Warren.
But you know damn well that the appetite for no, you can't have no fucking, you barely have a woman in there. There ain't no time to have no Negro up in this race right now. That's not going to work. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's just about what's going to work. All right. This is not the time for that shit right now. No,
I'm staying out of things like that. I'm saying I'm going to vote for who the nominee is.
Well, so am I. What I'm saying is that we can't get lost in this quagmire. So whoever gets it, look, well, of course we're going to vote for whoever the nominee is, whoever our club says. Because remember, they're clubs. You know, that's another fucked up part.
But we are so ahistorical. I mean, to go back and read about the response of the Congress once the telegraph came in. and reporting became nationalized so that things said on the floor of the House and Senate went around the country in almost real time.
Yep.
1850, 1852 was surprisingly, and you know, all the way up to 1861 was surprisingly similar to our our paranoid grasp of social media now? Because politics had never been so broadly broadcast in near real time, and the people of the time were in no wise ready to deal with it, and so they suddenly had to start playing to the reporters.
All of a sudden, because they knew whatever they said, it was going to go across the country. Because there was a whole lot of shit. I'm so glad you brought that up, you know, because I'm really, I really, really love the whole story. It's not about me. I'm just saying that the historical story of when the East Coast and West Coast finally got connected with the transit. That meant the telegraph would go coast to coast quick. Boom. Because they were protecting those tracks. And so, and this is a similar time, as you say, which is why we need to reevaluate this electoral college nonsense. It's so passe. It has no purpose. It serves no purpose anymore. It serves no purpose. And in that same vein, this is time for new thinking. We have to do things differently. It's a new era.
I don't mean to make this painful I hope I'm not hurting anybody by saying this. If we had a constitutional provision that said that all ballots must be or the result of all elections must be announced at the auctioneer's stand in Washington D.C. Where the slave auctions took place, would we still be doing it? Just because it says so in the Constitution, or would we amend the Constitution to get that bit of hatefulness out of our system? Well, the Electoral College is the same goddamn thing. And it operates in the same terms. It allows the former Confederate states to exercise outsize influence over the elections. And yes, I'm aware that in this case, it was the Electoral College in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, but it doesn't change the overall dynamic of it. By the way, James in Illinois points out 25 candidates against Bernie. That's what that's about. That's why there were 25 candidates.
Yeah, because Bernie was the man with the plan. Look at all his shit. And I don't want to lose my thought. Now what you just said, you're right. The caller was right. Now what you just said, you see, we're dealing with this confluence of the precipitate of this Citizens United plus the Electoral College plus meddling. And then people got smart somewhere along the way and started saying, hey, we can gerrymander. And this is going to work. We're going to work the system, which is why that the North Carolina Supreme Court said they have been disenfranchising people with surgical precision.
Yeah, in 2016, the Republicans discovered the skeleton key to the entire electoral system. Do you remember when Barack Obama gave
Say that again, Bob. No, please.
What, in 2016, please. The Republicans discovered the Constitution, the skeleton key to the entire electoral system? Yeah. Money, and the manipulation of data. And I was going to ask, do you remember when Barack Obama gave one of his State of the Unions and he critiqued the Citizens United decision and said and said straight up, This wrong decision will allow a flood of foreign money into our elections. And Sammy Shoot the Black Kid in the Back of the Head Alito sat there with his arms crossed in his stupid fucking robe.
He couldn't control his fucking self and
shook his head no, no.
He blurted out. Didn't he blurt?
No, he didn't blurt. He just shook his head. And muttered and mouthed the word no, no. And then in 2016, lo and behold, what Barack Obama said turned out to be 100% goddamn true. Because I know that even though there are some members of the Sparkle Fart powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol who think that Russia had nothing to do with 2016, well, they're self-deluding.
Self-deluded or self-deluding?
Well, it could be both. Oh, and by the way, I just saw this pop up since you were following the Mary Louise Kelly story.
Yeah.
The State Department has retaliated now.
Wait. How can you retaliate when you're wrong?
Well, diplomatic correspondent for NPR Michelle Kellerman was on Pompeo's plane for some trip, and the State Department kicked her off. She was scheduled for pool radio rotation during an upcoming trip to London and Kyiv. Goodbye, Michelle. Goodbye.
We're going to wake up. We're not going to have. We're going to wish we had these days.
And it's the state. It's the State Department Correspondents Association that's making the claim, not Michelle Kellerman.
She's keeping her mouth shut. Let the process work. See, but these folks, it's really sad. They had some kind of cognitive dissonance, and when they don't get what they want, things are slanted. You know, everybody, the media is liberal, and then they can't get, you know, something wrong. They can't get their way. The facts don't fit with their belief system, and they have trouble with it. No, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. You know, it's just about emotions. But we're fucked because, you know, they like the moron. They're getting what they want out of them.
Yep.
So. All right, man.
Well, son of a gun. Hold on.
So look.
I don't know why, but I buffered up and quit there for a minute. My apologies. But we should be back. Well,
how's your equipment?
Everything's a hot mess. I got in here yesterday. I got in here yesterday evening and went about the business of starting to cobble together things. That, you know, I examined the computer that runs the stream, and got it running on a temporary basis. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens from there.
Because it sounded like you had a computer that kind of went blue screen or something on you when you were out of town.
Yeah, it did. And I think there's a good reason to think it's the power supply. So maybe I'll try to replace the power supply. But Jesus Christ, you know, that's just a few hours that I really don't have. But we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks. People letting me know the stream went down. Well, it went down and it came back up. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. This is an unpaid product placement, but I want to be clear about it. While I was in Alabama, I had AT&T 50 down and 15 up. It never burped, not even once.
No, you were crystal clear.
On the other hand,
you never get 50 down. What are you talking about? You never get 50 down there.
On the other hand, Frontier's declaring bankruptcy, and of course, they're going to use that to fuck their union workforce. Of course,
and cry why they can't give you enough bandwidth.
Yeah, and but you know they'll keep on cashing my checks. That run, you know, 10 times as much as 10 times as much as what I was paying AT&T. But that's, you know, that's what it is to work from a place like, yeah.
The Republicans love free market economy, except when it comes, when it really matters. Like, I want choices. So how come I only have, like, two cable providers to choose from. That's it. That's all I got.
You got two?
Two.
Man.
And one of them.
That's city, living.
And one of them. No, but look, the local place tried to give them a chance. We wooed them for a few years, and they weren't doing the job, so we had to go to AT&T. But of course, you have to keep an eye on them because they're fucking vultures, and they've had your bill. You have to look at your bill every month. Every month, they're going to put charges on there that you did not authorize. You had to go through. It's like you got to hire somebody to look at your fucking accountant. Just look at the damn bill.
Well, I can't get AT&T here. I promise you, if I could, I would dump Frontier in a hot minute.
I know you would. Not only would you dump them, you would write their name on a piece of paper and burn their effigy. I know you would.
Well, that's a good idea. I should keep that in mind.
Come on, the whole community would, man. They're you know what they are. They're ridiculous, man. They got that shit right at the road. Like, no, we can't go over there.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I've got a feeling that Frontier will try to peel away its less profitable territories, like West Virginia, when they reorganize.
Oh, out of the bankruptcy?
Yeah. And, you know, then I'll be paying the same money to, I don't know, Jim Bob's internet service.
Yeah, but is Jim Bob going to be leasing his bandwidth from AT&T?
No way of knowing. No, I mean, he'll just, no. Because, see, that's how Frontier got in here, is Verizon got a cool $20 million from Joe Manchin and then bailed out and said, goodbye. And Frontier stepped in and became the internet service provider that Verizon used to be. I mean, I've still got a circuit ID number written in silver Sharpie across a part of my broadcast desk here from the days when Verizon would crash every time there was thunder 50 miles away. I mean, we're talking about 2006. Mm. And yeah. So if I could get service like AT&T, I mean, Jesus, that little corner of Northwest Alabama, there's a pocket there where people have a gig up and a gig down fiber all the way.
See, there are selected communities who have that and don't have any problem. But you know what? This conversation in my mind that right now, there's a very similar.
I gotta pass out a cowbell real quick. That's for clarity. Don't tell me how to move to Alabama and download like a boss, Bob, you AT&T shill. I'm just telling you, they got like two ISPs down there. One of them is what used to be Comcast, and the other's AT&T, and there is no comparison.
You made it very clear how happy you were with that. Now, you know, Comcast, man, they got book, man. You ought to see those two Comcast towers in Philly, man. They got the tallest buildings. I mean, they are massive. I mean, massive. Shit, they got.
If I was to bail on Frontier and go over to Shentel, the internet service provider no one's ever heard of, Shenandoah Telephone and Telegraph. That's what that is, Shentel.
Sounds like a Chinese operative.
Yeah, I could pay $400 a month for unlimited bandwidth that would not stay connected, or I could have metered bandwidth that wouldn't stay connected, that I'd wind up going over on every month.
Well, I don't know what to choose. I might go with the unfinished dough.
It's the lady or the tiger. Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
So why? It appears that our health care and our bandwidth are related in that they're both substandard and we can do better in America. In other words, we think we have the best and we don't.
Yeah, listen, it's like this morning, you know, listening to that multimillionaire talk. It's like, why do you hate the idea of people being able to go to the doctor when they're fucking sick and not have to worry about going bankrupt? Why do you hate that? I mean, do you just want more dead people? I mean, do you consider us overpopulated? I mean, is somebody, do you want the apartment across from you in your apartment building and there's somebody there who needs to, die? I don't know.
Well, let me say this. Now, you live in the South. I live in the South. Didn't always live in the South. Obviously, you know that. Everybody knows that. However, so I have a lot of law enforcement that come where I work now, because we have things they'd like to look at. And they live way out in the boonies. They don't want anything to do with anything that looks anything close to urban. They don't even want their kids going to public school. They don't. I mean, I'm telling you, he came in, he had his kid way over in the corner, away from everybody, isolated. I'm like, man, what are you, molesting your daughter? Why you got her all isolated over there like that? I mean, what do you think is going to happen in here? You know, there's cameras everywhere. Hey, yeah, what the fuck? But that's their, this is how these people think. The isolationists. Well, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. But let me go back to Bolton for just a minute here, because I think there may be a fundamental.
Oh God! I just cleaned my mustache off.
Yeah, I know. But it's unavoidable. I didn't mean to spit on your shoes. Here's what frets me. You know how it took us a while, but we finally realized that you remember the much ballyhooed outtake tapes from The Apprentice, where apparently you can hear Donald Trump shrieking ginger at the top of his filthy lungs, in between snorting rails of Adderall.
Yep.
And it took us a little while because we were a little slow about it. But we finally realized that even if those tapes came out, it would not cost him a vote, because the maggots would the maggots would be more prone to vote for him. Well,
because he's like me.
I think yeah. I mean, he just tells it like it is. Yeah, I remember back when I was voting for George Wallace in 1968, because George Wallace had that slogan. He said, "Tell it like it is. Take a message to Washington. Tell it like it is." And that's why I voted for George Wallace in 1968. I think we had better be cognizant, Todd, of the possibility that even if they call John Bolton to testify, and he says what he apparently has already put in the draft of his book, that Donald Trump looked him square in the eye and said, "Well, I want to freeze the military aid to Ukraine until they open an investigation into Joe Biden. That's what I want to do." I think we'd better come to terms with, because, we can kind of get lulled into this hypnotic trance by the multi-millionaire for-profit media, that somehow that would make a difference. It would make no more difference than releasing The Apprentice outtake tapes or actually seeing Donald Trump shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue. There are 33% of the electorate in this country who are not going to change their minds. And listen, just get it all the way down to your toenails, all of us. They're running the country. And they like it.
I don't disagree with what you just said, any of it.
Well, hell yeah, of course he would. That's what I do. That Joe Biden, he's dirty. It ain't nothing wrong with it. You know, my daddy used to tell me about when they went after Richard Nixon. You know what it was with Richard Nixon? You know what the only thing was about Richard Nixon? Richard Nixon just got caught. They all do it. You can hear it, can't you?
Well,
and he's standing there in his brand new white Keep America Great 2020 cap.
Now look, Steve in Georgia knows this. Now, there are folks that call in every morning when you listen to the podcast, you listen to it live on Washington Journal. And they have actually not one, not two, every motherfucking day. Well, that Vindman, he ain't nothing but a liar anyway. And, blah, blah. And then the moderator was like, well, you know, he does have a Purple Heart. He didn't really get hurt. He was faking it.
Yeah, I know. That's why them Patriots was wearing them Purple Heart Band-Aids at the convention.
So when you boil it down, that means they don't give a fuck with what they had. That's it. Like you said, they're entrenched. Which is why this is a mass mental illness. Because the cognitive dissonance has taken over. They live vicariously through this mentally ill individual. And either they were already mentally ill or now they have become mentally ill because they are impervious to facts. You remember when we were kids, people used to like encase their furniture in this plastic and shit. Remember that?
Yep.
All right. So their prefrontal lobe is encased in this plastic and nothing's getting through. Forget about it. That's done. Getting what they want. And they will be poor. They won't have any shoes, no food. And they'll be blaming Obama. They'll be blaming Obama till fucking hell freezes over. You know, it's really disgusting. I just can't stand to see how they treat women, though. I mean, it's not about that Mary Louise Kelly is a woman. It's about a professional doing their job. But I don't think he would have been doing that. If she were a white man, no white dude. I don't know, though. I don't know. Let me take that back. I don't know what these mugs might do. I don't know. I know that was totally inappropriate. And he got mad because he's stupid. You know, it's like that's you know, really stupid people who think they're smart. That's fucking dangerous. These people. Look, man. How are you feeling about this?
I'm just sitting back and watching it happen. And I feel like I've got a front row seat to watching my country come apart. I mean, isn't that what it is?
That's the way I feel about it. I hope you have a conscientious caller.
It's about time to. I think I'm probably just going to rant for the rest of the program.
All right, everybody's glad you made it back safely and all that good stuff. And, wow, this is really sad.
Well, here, before you go, let's check in on the pettifogging. Hang on, let's see what's going on here.
At his impeachment trial.
This is Robert Ray, who was an independent counsel in the President Clinton investigation.
People substituting their own interpretations for the ones that the principals actually and explicitly insist on. At any rate, a president's so-called illegitimate motives in wielding power can no more frame and legitimize the Johnson impeachment than recasting the Nixon impeachment as really about his motives in defying Congress over the country's foreign policy in Vietnam. Again, all of that may be true, but it has nothing really to do with impeachment. Not only that, it's also bad history. As recognized 65 years ago by then-Senator John F. Kennedy in his book Profiles in Courage, President Johnson was saved from removal from office by one vote. and thus by one courageous senator who recognized the legislative overreach that the Tenure of Office Act represented. Quoting now from Senator Edmund G. Ross in Profiles in Courage, who explained his vote as follows, quote, "The independence of the executive office as a coordinate branch of government was on trial. If the president must step down upon insufficient proofs and from partisan considerations, the office of the president would be degraded," close quote. So too here. Contrary, apparently, to the fashion now, Senator Ross's action eventually was praised and accepted several decades after his service, and again many years later by President Kennedy as a courageous stand against legislative mob rule. Professor Dershowitz will have more to say about one other courageous senator from that impeachment later. For now, the point is that our history demonstrates that presidents should not be subject to impeachment based upon bad or ill motives. And any thought to the contrary should strike you, I submit, as exceedingly dangerous to our constitutional structure of government. If that were the standard, what president would ever be safe by way of impeachment from what Hamilton decried as the, quote, persecution of an intemperate or designing majority in the House of Representatives, close quote. The central import of the abuse of power article of impeachment, indeed, when added together with the obstruction of justice article, is a result not far off from what one citizen tweet I saw back in December described as, Article 1, Democrats don't like President Trump. Article 2, Democrats can't beat President Trump. President Trump is not removable from office just because a designing majority in the House, as represented by their managers, believes that the president abused the power of his office during the July 25th call with President Zelensky.
Now, see, there we go again, Todd.
Right there. Stop. Believe.
Article 2, Democrats can't beat President Trump. Well, we beat him by 3 million fucking votes. But a hateful anachronism from our filthy slavery past put him in office. It would be nice if one of these goddamn multimillionaires would say that just fucking once.
Well, they're saying what they're saying what they mean. They're saying that this is the will of the American people. And remember, you have to operationally define who the American people are.
Maggots. The rest of us are just watching.
Right. You have to review your lexicon. You know, this is a whole different manual. You know, these people, that's the way these people operate. This is like, we are supposed to be running this, and this is the way it's supposed to be working. And it's working for us, and we're ensuring that it's going to continue to work for us. We've given a permanent 20% tax cut to the industrialists and the capitalists and the folks who make a certain amount of money or pull in a certain amount of money a year. And, you know, the rest of you people be damned. You can, the coronavirus is coming, and, you know, folks don't have health care, and you want your dollar hamburger, don't you?
Yeah, and the market took a bit of a dump today, if you noticed.
Good.
That. No, the market took a dump because apparently the New York stock, the global gambling casinos that are known as stock markets are afraid that they might catch the Wuhan. So, global transportation and global travel stocks today took a big shit.
Damn right they did. You knew that was coming, because you know what's on those ships. And all that stuff comes over here on big-ass motherfucking container ships.
Yeah, but I tell you, that story gets creepier by the minute. The market where it started, and Agnes and I were talking about this last night after I got home. Mm-hmm. There's a dirty little secret behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The market where this started
It was a meat market.
It was a meat market where they were selling rodents and reptiles for food. Just give that a second. Because the dirty little secret is that China cannot feed itself. And no one knows this better than the leadership of China. That's why they own Smithfield Meats now. That's why a significant portion of American-produced pork, and Mexican-produced pork for that matter, gets on a boat and goes to China. I remember a dear friend of mine, a researcher, who told me about being in doing research in China back, I guess, in maybe the 80s or the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He said the biggest wild animal you could find around any town was maybe a little bird.
Damn.
Because the most meat on it was a bird. Yeah, because during the Cultural Revolution, they ate everything that moved because the entire nation was starving to death under Mao.
So that's why we're sending all... See, that's a big story. No, it's been in... If folks have been paying attention, we're sending raw chicken over there to be processed and kept or whatever, and pork. And like you said, they bought out Park. And remember... Just in the past few weeks now, we've cut back 40% on our pork inspectors. 40%.
Yeah. Oh, but wait, because there's a little bit more of this.
There's more?
Yeah, there's more.
All right, Puppy.
Yeah, but wait, there's more. If you order now, and by the way, we're almost out of program, and this looks like it's going to be a Monday goose egg. It would be nice if it wasn't, because John kindly put a $200 challenge on the table this evening that has gone unresponded to. Be nice to see some new faces among the contributor crowd. Let me work through this real quick. So, you know how all the how to present this? One of the reasons that the Wuhan Woohoo, which is what I'm calling the disease. Coronavirus just makes it sound like you got something from a dirty beer bottle. China didn't respond well to the SARS outbreak. And they did what authoritarian regimes tend to do, and that is to try to downplay it and keep it from... They were more worried about the impression that people got than the diseases they were getting.
Sure.
And along the way, there was a failure of research on how these viruses transmit, the vectors.
Right. And like from animal to people and the chickens.
Right. And so there was a lack of understanding. And so, lo and behold, this was transmitted from reptiles, I think, I read somewhere.
I heard, yeah, some snakes.
Yeah, the Wuhan Woohoo came from snakes. And so I would just like for this little community, I'd like for this little community to just sort of bear in mind that every time you hear some Republican or libertarian type saying, "Oh, goddamn government's throwing away your money. Look here, I got $1 million study here. We done give $1 million grant to some pointy-headed intellectual, egg-headed, ivory-tire scientist to find out why does pigs get sick. What a waste of your taxpayer dollars when we could be using that to build more bombs and missiles." Well, guess what? The reason
Or more particularly, why'd we give away that grant money to find out why snakes get sick? I want them to all get sick. I hate snakes. Maybe we can get the spiders sick, too, and wouldn't it be a better planet if we did?
The only thing is, when you study why snakes get sick, you're studying why do people get sick.
But Republicans and maggots and Rand Paul libertarian ophthalmologists, they don't get that part.
And so now, because somebody ate a sick snake, I mean, for all I know, in Wuhan, that's a big deal in the street food business. You know, sick snake on a stick. Yeah, you try saying that. I'm a professional fucking broadcaster, by God. Sick snake on a stick, right here.
Sick.
No. Yeah.
But, well, they got to eat.
There's more to this than meets the eye. And now we got, 25 cases in the U.S.? And when people get scared, people become irrational really quickly. And so I sincerely hope that there's not a backlash against the Asian community.
Right. That's another group you can beat up on pretty soon and shut borders down even more. Because, it's not originating from a Caucasian area. I mean, you know.
Well, I am looking, I am looking at a photograph provided to me by Brother Deacon Asa. He says, my Chinese brother from another mother sent this to me minutes ago. I haven't yet looked to see if it's on Western media. It is a photograph, Todd. Street vendor prepares a frog for sale in Wuhan street market. And there are circles with circles and arrows and a paragraph. Trust live chicken in vegetable basket. Improvised table for cutting meat over plastic bucket. Live frogs for sale. Fish and frog remains. Unwashed buckets. Frog being slaughtered for client. Dirty digital scale.
Dirty digital scale with remnants of unspecified blood.
Get your sick snake on a stick here. Get sick snake on a stick. Got him right here.
Where's the
Come
Wu-Tang
on over.
Clan when you need him? Woo-haw!
You know the other thing I thought of? I'm a devotee of that proud son of Philadelphia, William Charles Duncan Field, otherwise known as W.C. Fields.
Oh, we all love him.
There's a movie out there.
That motherfucker was kicking kid in a minute.
there's a movie out there that he had. It wasn't one of his movies. It was just a movie he had a role in called International House. And he gets off the boat, I think, or maybe it's a plane, I'm not sure. But he asks, and I think it's Franklin Pangborn, the great character actor. And he asks him, where am I? And Franklin Pangborn replies, woohoo! To which Fields replies, don't let the posy fool you. Woohoo. In a movie. In the 1930s, and now we've got the Wuhan virus. Life imitates art. Well, James in Illinois said, I spit out my python pate.
Who is that, James?
Yeah, that's James in Illinois. Cowbell.
He was just about to dig in, wasn't he?
Yep. Coronavirus. Flavio says scientists, virologists, and epidemiologists in China and around the world are now saying that the virus came from civets, which are farmed for food via bats. Bats infect civets, and then it jumps from civets to humans, just like SARS did. Yeah, civets are often referred to as cats, but they aren't.
But they're feline.
I don't know. I don't know if they are or not.
What is up with this? Like a little fox. Like we had these little animals around here. They're like on the edge between being canine and feline.
I don't know, but I saw dead coyotes on the side of the road all over Alabama.
Well, we're having boars. We're having a problem with boars around here. Wild boars.
Oh, we've got a hunting season for them here. You can run in West Virginia. You can't run dogs on a deer. Oh my God! Here comes Alan Dershowitz. Jesus Christ! Get the hockey puck. Oh, he just bowed to John Roberts. I kid you not.
A fucker.
Well, yeah, you're just going to stick around for 10 more minutes because we got to check this out. This ought to be critical. As my friend Harvey Weinstein used to say. Okay, let's unmute the bastard.
Grounds of abusive power.
I'm very disappointed.
In what?
John Roberts.
Oh yeah. By the way, I had a note from Lady B on John Roberts. As a matter of fact, why does John Roberts take such care to protect the Republicans in this case? I get it. He shares the same ideology. But if he was really all about the rule of law, like everybody claims he is, why won't he apply it? And by the way, just as an aside, there is an argument to be made that the Senate rules of impeachment allow him to issue his own fucking subpoenas.
Yes, Lady B. Yes.
And so yes. He could say, you know, John, he could say, John Bolton, come on down and, you know, sing us a tune.
Right.
Oh, wait, that's Michael. And bring that Kenny G fella along, too. But anyway, it's a good question. If he's all about the rule of law like everybody claims he is, why won't he apply it? Well, because he's a Republican, first and foremost. And going all the way back to 2012, I've been saying that he is the most dastardly, devious, brilliant, evil genius Republican in the entire United States. As a Supreme Court Justice, Lady B continues, isn't he damn dear untouchable? Yes. I mean, damn, how much cushier can your life get when you sit on the Supreme fucking Court? The only way you'll lose your job is if you die or if you resign, because nobody's going to impeach your ass. There may be the possibility of impeachment, but they're so rare and far between that most people don't even know about them, much less bother with them. Damn, I'm just terribly confused as to how some people would rather burn this country down than just do the right fucking thing. Do the right fucking thing. And Robert in Australia says, watch the film Contagion. A bat virus spreads worldwide. There's a wonderful scene at the end showing the virus being spread from patient zero to a dozen people in just a few moments. It's an excellent film. May have to check that out, or it may be a little too close to the bone right now. And by the way, Tracy sends along a hearty, fuck Dershowitz. Yes, indeed. Well, no thanks. I'll take a pass. You might catch something. That feller's been around. And, yes.
I bought Tracy a new car.
Did you? Was that you?
No.
Yeah, you picked out the color, didn't you?
I did something.
Tracy adds, you know, we did beat that asshole 3 million motherfucking votes. Yeah. Well, let's check in on Dershowitz. This could be comical.
Our constitutionally authorized criteria for impeachment. The first issue is largely factual, and I leave that to others. The second is a combination of traditional and constitutional law, and I will touch on those. The third is a matter of pure constitutional law. Do charges of abuse and obstruction rise to the level of...
How much would we pay to have Lawrence Tribe in the gallery with a pea shooter? Just hit it, just, you know, just a straw and some wet toilet paper, and just a splat right on the end of his right on the end of his pink tomato nose every so often.
Authorizing impeachment. In making my presentation, I will transport you back to a hot summer in Philadelphia and a cold winter in Washington. I will introduce you to patriots and ideas that helped shape our great nation.
Will you introduce us to the girls that Jeffrey Epstein provided to you? No, I'm betting not.
Volumes from the 18th and 19th century. I ask your indulgence as I quote from the wisdom of our founders. This return to the days of yesteryear is necessary because the issue...
Really? Return with us now to the stirring days of yesteryear? And a hearty Hi-O, and a hearty Hi-O Silver?
Might today decide are the proper criteria for impeachment of a president, but what the framers of our Constitution actually chose and what they expressly and implicitly rejected. I will ask whether the framers would have accepted such vague and open-ended terms as abuse of power and obstruction of Congress as governing criteria. I will show by a close review of the history that they did not and would not accept such criteria for fear that these criteria would turn our new republic into a British-style parliamentary democracy in which the chief executive's tenure would be, in the words of James Madison, the father of our Constitution, at the pleasure of the legislature. The conclusion I will offer for your consideration is similar, though not identical, to that advocated by highly respected Justice Benjamin Curtis, who, as you know, dissented from the Supreme Court's notorious decision in Dred Scott, and who, after resigning in protest from the High Court, served as counsel to President Andrew Johnson in the Senate impeachment trial. He argued, and I...
Funny how we don't say the slaver Andrew Johnson, isn't it? Isn't it just interesting?
This is very... you know what I like about this is that intermittently listening to this because... It started off, they had no argument, so they're talking about bullshit. They brought up Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. They brought that up, which has, you know what? Fine, it does look shady, but that's a whole other venue for that. This is not that fight here. I mean, just stop with that bullshit. That is bullshit.
Oh, hey, that may not have been a misspeak on your part. You give the Republicans enough time here in the Senate, and they may start, and I would not be at all surprised to find them claiming that Bo Biden caught the cancer just to help people feel sorry for Joe.
Well, yeah. They will do, they're craving. Just like this motherfucker right here, this disgusting, I'm going to tell you, something's happened to Dershowitz. I don't know what I think maybe the spirochete's got to his brain too. But, a claim of abuse of power is not what he just said it was. This is absolutely plausible. It's evident. You cannot say blanket, no one may testify. No one that I've hired, no one in my circle can testify. That's bullshit on the face of it.
Well, yeah, and the fact of the matter is, he's arguing there's no such thing as obstruction of Congress. Oddly enough, 23 years ago, he was of exactly the different opinion.
How can that not be obstruction of Congress? This is what I'm saying. We are in a place now where you even have to debate, all right, is a pen, what do you use that pen for? Do you sew with it? A needle. What is a needle for? Does it have a hole in it? Do you put thread in it or not? I don't know. We have to discuss that. Well, what are you talking about? You know, I don't even know where to begin with this. We're in such a terrible place. We're in such a terrible place where logic is not even being implemented.
Well,
help me here.
I can't. Look, this is all just a matter of providing a plausible fig leaf for Republicans to hide behind. But you can't get away from the fact that on this day, they have presented as defenders of the president two men who have made their careers defending people like Donald Trump who tormented women. Dershowitz can't get away from his Epstein allegations. And then there's Jeffrey Epstein, his buddy and client. And then there's Harvey Weinstein, Klaus von Bülow, Jesus. And then there's, and then, you know, as I opened the program with Ken Starr.
That's what I can't get over, because, you
that
know,
that sleazy Christian.
That was the close. He's like this mug that wanted to look at porn, but he had the balls enough to go and buy a goddamn Hustler magazine and look at it. So he had to like be this creepy dude on the edge. You know, he's probably doing upskirt shit. You know, what the fuck is, something's wrong with him. We remember. No, this dude, something's wrong with him. Something's wrong with him.
Yeah, he's revolting. And hey, I got to get out of here, but I want to send out thanks to Ralphs. Tonight was not a goose egg, thanks to Ralphs. So,
thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Ralphs. And we got $190 to go on John's challenge. Thank you, John, for making it. I hope others, maybe the overnight crew, will respond. So I got to roll out of here, Todd. Thanks for joining me. Well, that was kind of peremptory. Todd bailed out. And I guess we'll deconstruct Alan Dershowitz on the morrow and get to some of the other news of the day. By the way, the Centers for Disease Control has now expanded the travel warning to the entirety of the country of China. And Beijing has noted the first death from the Wuhan virus, the coronavirus. I don't know about watching Contagion. It might be a little too close to, yeah. But Agnes and I did start watching Messiah last night. Interesting little series. We're halfway through. Probably watch the other half tonight. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Now that I'm back in the fabulous Horn Studio at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, so thank you so very much. I'm back to slow uploads of the of the podcast. So, oh well. I'll get to work on that quick as we're off the air here. Tracy, on the way out the door, says, "How about we return to 1998 when Clinton was impeached, motherfucker?" Yeah, that right, exactly. Back when Alan Dershowitz thought that obstruction of Congress was well worth removing a Democratic president from office. Oh, if only this would be a different world if those deities who fling around lightning bolts and things like that actually existed. Because after Ken Starr spoke today, starting on Saturday, after the first Trump lawyer spoke and got taken out by a lightning bolt, the rest of them would be looking at each other going, "No, you go next. No, you. No, really, after you. No, yeah." But those are fairy stories for children and childish adults. Oh, well. So back tomorrow for Titanic Tuesday. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air, whether you do so as subscribers or a la carte. Thank you so very much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.